Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hours here. Greg Salerno's in. He is the company. See Cofield. Griffin. 25 minutes until we head off to NBA Finals game number 3. Mavs and Celtics right here on ESPN Las Vegas. So I got to follow up on a couple things from the last hour. One, when I mention that story and the video that I don't think all of you saw, it's kind of a deeply embedded thing within the WNBA community. Although I did see Jemele Hill retweet it, who's got a big following on Twitter, and she kind of laughed at it and patted the player on the back. Again, Kalia Copper, who plays for the Mercury, got annoyed with someone at a WNBA press conference, a media member, who was stumbling and bumbling, and asked a question that's sort of posed to get a certain answer, and she wasn't having any of it. And then she chastised the dude and then stormed off. So as I watched it, I'm like, okay, there's a couple things here. Is the WNBA to the point where they shouldn't have to deal with questions like this anymore? Probably. Reality is, though, there aren't a lot of people who cover the WNBA, so they're a little more lenient in allowing in younger, less established media people. Now, does that mean the players have to sit there and they're like, hey, while this person practices being media, I gotta deal with this? So I'm very pro-media, and I do think younger people, and I think media should be coming from everywhere, not just traditionally trained journalists. There are great people who are doing podcasts and on the web and who can't get into the traditional areas. And podcasts now are as big or bigger, some of them, than terrestrial radio. So where are you on this? Can you see it from both sides? Because I will tell you, last night, I was on Zoom, right? There's a crowd there. Sometimes right. It might be four people.
Right? Sure.
There's a group outside the market and in the market who were up on Zoom. I was there watching the post game. There was a guy from ESPN.com. I don't know where he lives. Other people seem like they were from around the country. How do we handle this? Because there was a moment last night where actually someone in the room who didn't have a lot of experience went for like 36 seconds. They were just going in circles. It's Becky Hammond sitting there with Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson. And Asia Wilson starts rolling her eyes and laughing from the get-go, which I also don't think is very becoming. Just, you know, it's annoying. Finally, the PR person's like, all right, is there a question? Which I also said, that's good. It's very complicated.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
So what do you do? If you're PR, you're just like, that's it. That's it. No more people who don't have experience. We're not going to allow everyone to ask a question. But then you might also have a post-game press conference that's four questions and 6 minutes.
Well, that's the problem. Part of me thinks like, hey, you want eyes on your league. Now you have it. And this is what happens when you have eyes on your league and people are covering you and asking you questions.
To be fair, there are jabronis and long questioners and odd questions at Raiders, at Vegas Golden Knights, at UNLV basketball, at UNLV football. There was I cannot remember what it was about, or there was something, like it was like the opening question. Some dude is asking Barry Odom after the loss in their game in Arizona at the bowl game.
Yeah.
It was a long question, and Odom almost never snaps. He was like, okay, I think what you're asking is this. And he was like, boom, 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 let's move on.
Well, you're talking to a guy who dressed up as a shark and went to the Sharknado premiere on the red carpet and asked the most ridiculous questions I could possibly ask. So,
sure.
I mean, I know how to piss people off, so I get it. Yeah. But I do think, I mean, controversy, if you're talking about from a PR's perspective, controversy is going to sell anyway. They're going to talk about it on First Take. They're going to talk about it on these shows. So,
no, but they're not going to talk about a little. It's not the Greg Doyle thing was kind of crazy. That one's super viral because it's Caitlin Clark. Like, no one's going to post. I might. I'm probably going to do a follow-up video so that people outside the market can kind of. I really do think it's an interesting question. Is the WNBA at the point where they're like, we have to be more selective in who's talking to our athletes and coaches? I'll give Becky Hammond credit because she sat there through like three questions that were long and really didn't have any point. And I think, again, I'm very pro-media, but I think people were just kind of asking a question because they were there and they're like, oh, let me ask a question. Like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, but I think some of the most famous interviews or quotes or things like that I've ever remember are a media guy asking some D-head question to somebody and the reaction went viral. Yeah. They didn't have viral back then, but whatever viral was back then.
Sure.
So, again, I mean, the end result, I think, helps maybe, but I do think Yeah, I mean, you don't want a bunch of idiots like me asking just random questions. So.
You're not an idiot, Craig.
Well, all right. I was at the time. I changed.
I sent you a picture earlier, a couple of photos in our rundown of... Boy, this might be happening. There's some movement on the Wet n Wild site. There is a plan to build an arena and a multi-use resort, maybe, right? Residential, commercial. It's 27 acres. The goal would be, and it's been like this for like 20 years. It's a different group than the old Jackie Robinson group, Jackie from UNLV.
Right.
Alan Snell, LV Biz, LV Sports Biz, took some pictures. I mean, someone did joke in the comments like, oh, they've been moving dirt around there. Like, there wasn't much going on, but there were people, there were construction people on the site. Now, keep in mind, there is a plan to build on the south end of the strip an NBA-ready arena with Leiwicki and, you know, some of the Raider, old Raider brass is part of that as well. That's going to be on the same property as Brightline, the high-speed train. What do you think of this? Are we actually going to get two NBA-ready arenas in like 6 years?
No. I think we'll get one.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to get two. You can't take away everybody's favorite hooker motel. With I think it's called over there by the In-N-Out Burger. Yeah. What is that thing called again? Wild West or something like that?
Haven't been there, Greg. Driven by it a bunch.
No. I don't even know if that place is even open. I've never met a person that's actually went in there. But
I love that piece of property, though.
Yeah, well, it's a great place.
It would help the north end of the strip. Traffic would be a nightmare. They'd have to fix the roads.
But you got
to
pick one or the other. You can't have both. Right?
I mean, I say that every time they build a new arena here. I'm like, how many concerts and shows can you have? All right, well, here we go. You know, it's like,
that's right.
Here's the Sphere. Here's the Sphere. Here's, you know, here's Orleans with 8,000 plus. We got the MUA. We've got MGM Grand Garden Arena. We got T-Mobile. It's like,
I want an NBA team so bad.
We have nine arenas that can hold more than 12,000 people.
Yeah. I just build one of them. I don't care. I don't want an NBA team really, really bad. I'd be so excited.
Did you see Stern the other day talking about this on, I saw, he talked to a couple of different shows. He had mentioned expansion is coming after TV deals are done. He's like, well, you know, candidates like, you know, Seattle's intriguing, Vegas. And then he made a kind of a longer statement about Mexico City. Could we get jobbed on this? Could we not be one of the next two?
I hope not. Come on, man. If you pick Mexico City over Vegas, I mean, come on. I know you want to be global and everything, but like, is that even a big sport in Mexico, basketball?
Oh, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think NBA would kill it down there.
You think so?
Yeah.
More than Vegas?
Well, I didn't say it was a better choice than Vegas. Oh. But
I mean, there's a lot of people there. It's a huge market. Don't get me wrong.
Well, if we don't have an arena and, like, you know, dates-wise, T-Mobile can't handle it, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I think there's also, you know, do Bill Foley and the Knights want to share an arena with an NBA team?
Is there a Mexican basketball league? I'm seriously asking.
Yeah.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
There hasn't been a ton of Mexican NBA players, but, you know, around college basketball.
Hmm. I want Vegas. Just Vegas.
And Seattle's a – you think Seattle's a – for sure. They're number one over us?
Well, there's been so much complaining ever since they left. My problem with that, though, is if they couldn't keep a team before, what makes you think they're going to keep a team now?
Well, they had an owner
buy
it from out of the market, and maybe that was his goal from the get-go. And
I guess.
I'd have to look back on that if there was a whole argument over getting a new arena.
Because people say that about the Expos all the time. I'm like, well, did you watch the games? There were six people there. I mean, I don't know what you're – I mean, it's sad that Montreal doesn't have a team, but
I think that was another case. Well, but it was also Jeffrey Loria, who's, you know, kind of proved he was a dirtbag.
Yeah,
when he, you know, eventually moved down to whatever, he got the Marlins. So all that
Vegas.
Okay, I want an NBA team here too. I just wonder where they're going to play and how it's going to work out. And I'm just, you know, I'm always cynical. It's like, hey, are we going to get screwed somehow?
Yeah, probably.
Which we shouldn't.
No.
We've been a great friend of the NBA.
We've been a friend to a lot of people. The A's are treating us like crap, too. I don't understand why people think they're going to treat Vegas like crap because, you know, I think it's a really good market.
So I'm on Twitter last night. I'm looking at, because I just stalk everyone at the station. That's all I do. I was at Greg Salerno, and I just see some picture, and it's labeled Blue Streaks.
Oh, yes.
You're quite the photog out and about, which I'll tell you surprises me. Does that insult you?
No, I get it.
What do you think I'm thinking?
Well, I don't know, because it's more of a like an artsy kind of thing, and I don't think you would think I was that kind of person, maybe, or something.
Correct.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. First of all, it's not.
Have you had anyone else say that to you?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I thought you just kind of, you know, stayed at home, you know, right. Take the shirt off, put a pizza on your stomach, and drink some beer.
Well,
I'm not going out. Outside is stupid.
People are stupid, not outside. I like going outside.
You love nature. You love.
I do. I love exploring.
You take some great,
well,
really
first of all,
great pictures.
And I don't take those.
I feel like you.
Griage takes those.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's my alter ego, Griage. He takes the photos. But. Yeah, I know. I do like doing that. I love.
Like, you appear to like. You go on like mountains, and it looks like you hike.
I do.
It's so not you, but it is.
Yeah. Well, I like nature, but I also love space. And the farther you go out, the darker the sky is, and the more you can see stars. And I'm a big Milky Way guy. Like, I'm obsessed with taking pictures of the Milky Way for some reason. And so that's another reason that takes me out there a lot too.
Yeah, I felt that last night. I was actually on that whole space thing and how dark it gets.
Yeah.
I was sitting on my couch watching 90 Day Fiancé, and there's a guy from Vegas, and they took a trip to Brazil, and it got dark early. Or it got darker.
Oh, yeah.
That was the dumbest tie-in ever, but yeah, that's what I did last night. While you're out taking blue streak pictures, I'm like, hey, 90 Day Fiancé. Not my choice, but you know, it's kind of a democracy.
Yeah. Well, you have a significant other, and I live in a storage shed, so there's a little bit different there. So.
Which will be a great story to tell down the road. So you're saying nature is better than the storage shed.
Yeah, exactly. My car's air conditioned, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, but it's really hot outside. You know how hot it is in the storage shed?
Yeah.
So is that one of the better pictures that Griage has taken?
I have a ton, man. You'd be surprised. This is the thing is, like, I started out just trial and error doing it. And then after a while, Griage got way better at it. And now I've kind of gotten, I feel like I've got it kind of perfected, at least with that one type of shot, star photos. I still, like, when I do portraits and stuff, sometimes they don't turn out great. But that also involves people, which I hate, so it doesn't matter. But, yeah, I just go out in the middle of nowhere where there's nobody there.
We'll go to Greg Salerno. I don't have much more on this. I just saw it, and I thought it was a good picture.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Let's go back to regular Greg, though.
All right.
You sent over a story today about fans potentially going to prison. For action at a game.
Yes.
What happened?
There were racial slurs, you know, said towards a soccer player. And
this is in Spain.
Yes, in Spain. And they have a law out there against racism. So these people went to prison for being racist. Now, I don't know how you feel about this. I mean, living in America, obviously that would never happen. Racism, obviously bad. I think we all agree racism's bad. But
that's in the eye of the beholder.
That's right.
It is a debatable topic, right?
Guess.
Like what's offensive and what's not
these days.
Is the spoken word on video? Is that enough proof to go? You know what? Sorry, man.
Well, yeah, that
you
was.
You need to pay a bigger price than just being banned from the arena or stadium for life. Here's some jail time.
And
does that work as a deterrent?
Well, and who decides what's racist and what isn't?
Yeah,
you know, because then they start getting, you know, they have the slippery slope thing or whatever with that. I don't know. Again, I feel like putting people in prison for speech is bad. I don't think that you should be hateful towards people and use hate speech. But I just don't know if that, you know, prison, that just sounds kind of scary. Like you're in another country. What if you say something on air? You don't even mean to say it. And all of a sudden you're in prison. I mean, I don't know. That seems like a bad road to go down. Just my opinion.
You're saying that can't happen in the near future?
With me? I don't know.
With anyone?
No, I mean.
I don't know what's coming.
But that's my point is, like, obviously, there's certain things I think most people agree are racist, okay, right. If you say them. But then you get to the point where it's like, is this racist? And you have a trial on whether or not it's racist. I mean, is this borderline racism? You know, then you get in this sticky situation, and I feel like you're playing with people's lives there. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of crazy, scary.
Okay, more of a U.S. topic, right?
Yeah.
Because not that we don't have people screaming slurs. In the crowd and caught on camera. And
yeah.
It happens on social media. I think there's been at least two women over the last 6 months that I know. I don't know them, but I know the stories where, like, man, it didn't work out for you.
There's that one girl. She got fired from her job for saying the N-word on TikTok.
That just happened.
And then now she just got, like, she's turned into this grift now where she has all these supporters and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. So
there was another woman, younger lady at Indiana State who had done a whole rant, and that didn't work out too well for her.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think there's, well, I should say not all. Most people agree, I think, on, you know, certain things that are racist. But again, when you get into the gray area, I think it's scary when you're involving prison in it.
So more of a U.S. deal here with fans running on the field, interfering in the action. What's the penalty? And what's a good deterrent? Because I mentioned one of them is like, they're banned for life.
Yeah.
They're never allowed in the stadium again. What do you do to There was a guy at the Cincinnati Reds game, runs on the field, does a backflip. I have to watch the video again. I assume this was law enforcement. I don't know that stadium security has tasers, but he got tased.
Yeah, I saw it.
He got taken down to center field, which it's hard not to laugh.
No, it is. And I think that's a great deterrent, really, because if you tell me I'm going to do a night in jail, I don't care. I'll run on the field. Who cares, you know? But if you tell me I'm going to get tased, I'm not even going to attempt this. So I do think,
really? You would actually think it through?
I would. If someone's going to tase me, no way, man. I don't want that.
Have you been tased?
I actually have.
How was that?
Not good.
Wait, was that like a joke in the studio?
No, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Really?
Yeah. I don't know if we have enough time.
Yeah, we had all the time in the world. No NBA game tonight if the story goes long. Sorry.
I was on the Strip once, and I was standing. I'll make it as short as possible. They used to have – I don't know if they're still there, but this is a while ago, maybe 8 years ago, something like that. They used to have these little pushed-in, barely bars. You just walk up, and it's just a bar. That's it, you know, on there. My name is O'Shea's. So it started at O'Shea's, and we worked our way down. And this guy came over. These guys were from out of town, from L.A., and they started a fight kind of with one of my friends a little bit that was happened to be there. And I kind of just laughed and came over and, like, kind of broke it up. And the guy got mad and didn't like what I said. Or I don't know. He was drinking, whatever. So I'm with a girl, and I'm trying to be the nice guy here. You know, when I was younger, I would have gotten in a fight, but I'm old, and I just wasn't trying to get in a fight. And I keep walking. I'm walking towards the Venetian. The guy's following me, yelling, and wants to fight really bad. I think I really wants to fight, okay? So I get down towards the Venetian, and I turn around like, hey, man, look, like, go away because I don't want to fight.
Right.
He swings, hits the girl with his forearm. He hits the girl I'm with his forearm in the head.
Wow.
And now I'm like, okay, now I got to fight. I have no choice. So I start punching the guy in the face, and he kind of fell down a little bit, and I was like kind of holding him up like, nah, like doing the Nolan Ryan.
Robin Ventura.
Yeah.
Get a couple extra.
A little extra in there, and next thing I know, my shirt gets ripped, and I get kicked, kind of, and something hit me right in the side. And Yeah, and I realize it's cops. At first, I'm thinking it's his friends or something, and I was gonna start swinging around. Yeah. And next thing I know, man, I'm on the sidewalk, and my shirt's ripped open, my guts hanging on the asphalt, and
it's a good look.
Yeah, it's great. And they handcuffed me, but they did. You know, I'll tell you what, the witnesses were cool, and everybody told them what happened, and that the guy chased me all the way down.
Right.
And they wound up letting me go. But it was really embarrassing, and I did get tased right in the side. It wound up being a taser, and I was so drunk, I barely even felt it. I kind of fell down.
I'm proud of you.
I know. It was not good.
Impenetrable.
It's like a manatee. They have that extra, layer or whatever.
Layer of blubber.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. That was the last time I've gotten a fight.
That's bringing something to the table. I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
Well. And that guy who got tased, if you can do a backflip, you probably don't have the layer of blubber.
No. That guy probably felt every volt.
Yes. I've never had the urge to run on the field. I've never had the urge to grab a player. So,
yeah. Usually I think it's bets, right? Guys dare guys to do it and stuff like that, and they're drunk. Stupid.
That's when I watch those, I'm like, man, I wish everything operated like the old days in Vegas that you hear about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, casino cheats.
Yeah. They bring them in the back and break their hand with a hammer or something. Yeah.
Where's the vice?
Man, that was a graphic scene.
What movie was that in?
Casino.
It was Casino?
Yeah. It was, what's his name? Was it Scarfo? Was it Nicky Scarfo? Am I saying the right guy?
Yeah.
Okay. But I got a story about that. So there's a guy.
You know, there was a time I got my head in a vice.
No. There was a guy that used to work here, and he told me that the way he met our boss, old boss, was that he was at a bar, and some guy was, like, talking bad to him, so he had to run up and punch the guy in the face, and then the boss is like, you know, I need a guy like you, and then he came to work here as a sales guy.
That doesn't surprise me. And I think I knew who that is.
Yeah,
I've never heard that story before.
I guarantee you do.
That's tremendous. That is tremendous. I'll make the transition to, his character in Casino was, what, Nicky Santoro?
Yeah, that's it. Santoro.
Nicky Santoro.
Yeah.
Kind of a New York, New Jersey guy. Joe Pesci's really from New Jersey, if I'm correct on that. Yeah. On the whole Jersey guy thing,
yeah,
I am annoyed about the Dan Hurley deal. And I think you bring up a valid point last hour. I'm not going to flip out because the Lakers didn't offer him enough. if I'm a Laker fan, I am annoyed that this probably was a work and you got suckered into it. And I think that's a bad sign. It's not something you can't get past.
Right.
It's not something you can't get over. It's a learning experience, but it's a bad sign.
Well,
that you got duped. If he really wasn't interested in the job and this was a, you know, media guy working with Dan Hurley to get him some leverage at UConn, a proud franchise like the Lakers should not be duped by that.
I agree. And but that again, that for me, that ties in with the money though, because if you don't offer him something you know he's going to take, then you're going to deal with the PR backlash, and now everybody's saying nobody wants the Laker job. It might not even be true. I mean, people are saying it's not an attractive job. People are saying nobody wants to, you know, coach there. That's horrible for the Lakers.
If you offered, supposedly the offer was 6 for 70. You offer 6 for 100, 6 for 90, $15 million a year. He's the highest paid coach in the NBA. If he turns that down for $50 million at UConn, is it pretty obvious that he never wanted the job?
Yes, of course.
And then what, you're absolved?
I would think so, because you're like, I tried at least. I mean, he turned down the same offer with the Kentucky already. Why would he take it with the Lakers?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like go big or go home in that situation, or else you're going to have to deal with what you're dealing with right now.
I was good last hour. Arash was on, Arash Markazi, who grew up a Lakers fan, yeah, covered the Lakers, and he's salty.
He was.
He's annoyed.
Yeah.
He's
I don't blame him.
He's too polite, though. He held back on Hurley.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like, and I don't know, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but apparently Waj, you know, keeps Hurley's book behind him when he does video. You know, I mean, they're close.
He knows, yeah, he wrote about the Hurley family and the dad, and I idolize the dad. I think he's awesome. Got to cover him a little bit, you know, when I was really young.
Right.
And actually covered both Bobby and Danny when they were still in high school. I don't want to keep crapping on Danny Hurley, but
nah, it's just
he ain't my guy.
It just seems
and I like Bobby, and I think Bobby's a little bit, you know, he's still like too high strung, but yeah. There's something about, listen, anyone who's listened to the show knows the stuff last year where he was calling out fans and other crowds.
Right.
Like, you're pushing 50 years old.
Right.
You're a coach of a, you know, a blue blood program. Stop. And the other thing is, they're not going to let a fan come down and fight you. So stop saying you're going to go and punch them. I hate tough guys who don't have to deliver on being a tough guy.
Right. Well, that happens every second of
But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah, of course.
It's easy to say that. Like,
yeah.
But when push comes to shove and there's some, like, monster in the crowd who's like a Butler fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, let him down.
Yeah, or one of the Jokic brothers or something.
And I like I said, it's unbecoming is a stupid word, and it probably doesn't apply to anyone who's from New Jersey because we're all unbecoming. But
right. Yeah, I don't know.
He's not a Lakers guy. I don't think he's an NBA coach right now. And you know, I'll mention the other thing real quick, and then we'll get a pick on the game tonight. I think it was Ian O'Connor. Really good writer, longtime media guy in New York. And he's like, well, this is good because now he can take the NBA job that he's made for.
The Knicks when it opens up. Right, yeah.
Am I the only person in the country who's like, the Knicks job sucks? Do you know who you're working for?
Yeah.
Like, think about what you're saying. He just turned down Jeannie Buss.
Right.
Who is a classy person. She's trying. James Dolan?
Yeah, he won't even let some of the former players in the building, for Christ's sake.
The Knicks have been ordinary for the most part for now 20-plus years. There's one main reason. Him.
Right.
Because players around the league and coaches around the league are like, nightmare.
Well,
and then you have people like, oh, the Knicks job is better. It's not better.
It goes back to that Northeast bias you were talking about, though. They have this sense of entitlement where they deserve everything. So, and I agree because I'm one of them, but.
All right, pick on the game tonight. So,
if Dallas doesn't win tonight, it's over. So, I'm going Dallas. They have to win. They're at home. They have to.
I was hoping you were going to come out strong and say, it's over.
It's over. I mean, even I think it might just still be a gentleman's sweep, but I think Dallas wins tonight no matter what.
I'm going to apply the ultimate jinx. Kyrie will break out tonight. He'll have a good game. He'll score 27-plus. Luka will be Luka. They'll get a little better defensive effort. The Celtics won't be, and they haven't been great. But the urgency, they got to get it done. That is a terrible way to approach picks and games and betting. But Mavs win! Hold me to it for tomorrow's show. Mavs win. Enjoy the game.